Hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Here on this Tuesday. Got a few weeks off before the Titans will officially report for training camp. We're ready for that, for sure. I'm sure the players are going to enjoy a little bit of time off.
Sure, yeah.
We are now joined by Matthew Jackson. Of course, plays for the Tennessee Titans going into his second year. Matthew, good morning. How are you?
How are y'all doing? Good morning. Good morning.
We're fantastic. So what has the last few months been like for you? You obviously had your rookie year and all of that, but then go through a coaching change and have a new staff in there. What's it been like working with Coach Callahan and his crew?
No, it's kind of like basically going back into another rookie year, you know, just with a new coaching staff. You know, I went in basically trying to learn a new coaching staff with the coaching staff of what Mike Vrabel had. And just coming in with the new coaching staff, it's just been a different experience with different coaches and stuff, what you will really have when you have culture changes. But it's been pretty good. Personalities are clicking a little bit, different moods and standards. So it's just been an abundance of joy, basically.
In listening to Denard Wilson talk, I mean, I want to run through a wall. And, like, I couldn't help this team at all. But he seems like a fiery guy, somebody that you would want to go and play for. What's it been like working with him?
It's been well. You know, it's different having player coaches. You know, they know the game. They've been in the game. So their attention to details and characteristics and – basically attitude is going to be way more different because they've actually held a football or hit somebody with a football. So he just brings a different tenacity about how he attacks the game, which if you don't have that mentality as a football player already with being on the defensive side, then you kind of would drift away. But I definitely have that aggressive mentality. So it's been pretty fun.
We're talking Titans linebacker Matt Jackson on the Chasing Big Joe Show. All right, my man, you have a football camp this weekend. Tell us where it is, what's going on, and why this is important to you.
So I went to Hillsborough High School. It's in Nashville, Tennessee. So I will be hosting it at Hillsborough High School. It will be from 10 to 1. And I believe that it's key for me to have this because I mean, I've done a lot of things in the community with me being growing up from Nashville. I see where the communities are at, and I'm just like, okay, well, what can I do to still bring joy and a little bit of excitement to the kids? Me knowing I'm not the biggest superstar on the Titans, it's still pretty fun for the kids to come out there and see me and for me to give back to the kids and stuff in the community. So I was like, let me host my first annual camp. I know I've never done this before, so it's kind of a new experience for me also. But I just like, what way can I give back to the community? So that's why I wanted to host it.
How can people get information about the camp on Saturday?
If they want to follow me, my Instagram is MattAJack, and then 1212. The link is in my bio for registration, and everything is free. We have food trucks out there, tons of events for kids to win, little incentives and stuff like that. So, just go to the link in my bio, MattAJack12, and click to register.
All right, we'll get it out there. We'll have to spread the word because I grew up here, so did Chase, and we love the fact that you guys give back to the community and where you grew up and all that, so which is fantastic doing that. Let me ask you this, Matt. What do the Titans classify you as, a linebacker or a safety or kind of both?
I'm a safety now. So I know going out of college I was considered a linebacker, but they actually did the position change, like basically when I came onto the team. And I moved to safety. So I'm primarily safety now, both playing free and strong. So, yeah, I think I've converted myself. I know in college I was outside linebacker type, but I've converted myself to a full-blown safety.
So how difficult was that, making that transition from being a linebacker to a safety?
I mean, I think the main, the main difference is being able to have to control a lot of things. You know, safeties, they have to do a little bit more communicational things. So having to talk and basically be the quarterback of the defense. I know they usually say the middle linebacker gets everything set up, but I think it's primarily more of the safeties that make all the checks. So it's just adjusting to being more detailed in my mental as far as being able to make calls and make adjustments and stuff like that.
You know, you mentioned, you know, a player's coach and all of that in Denard Wilson, but Steve Jackson obviously played for this organization. Yeah. He's been here a few times. Getting to work with him, how has Steve in the early going kind of helped you in hone those skills at being a safety?
Yeah, he's been actually a very good, I know he's a coach, but it's more of a mentor about the game of playing safety, because he's had a lot of years at coaching players and also playing in Super Bowls and being a player too. So it's more like a mentor of how to really be detailed enough to play the game at safety and stuff like that. He's always giving critiques and stuff like that to better each of the safeties' games, and he's so detailed and he knows like everybody's style, and he's gonna always let you play to your style and what comforts you as a safety. And that's all you can ask for with transitioning from like linebacker to safety, just being comfortable and your backpedal and making your decisions and stuff like that.
Look at you now. We're talking to Matt Jackson, Tennessee Titans safety, played at Hillsborough in Eastern Kentucky. Tell me what it was like, Matt, when Vrabel told you last year you made the team as an undrafted free agent, because it doesn't happen every day.
Yeah. It was pretty shocking to me. You know, the nature of the game is that not a lot of people make it out of being undrafted and stuff like that. So with when I got the call and I got went to the office and stuff like that, I was kind of shocked. I cried a little bit, and I was extremely happy, and I was just blessed that this opportunity was given to me.
Who, let me ask you this, who cusses more, Mike Vrabel or your head coach at Eastern Kentucky, Walt Wells?
It is a fine line between those two, and when I tell you fine, it's very, very fine. But I will have to probably – I haven't talked to Coach Wells in a little – in a hot minute, but when I was a player, it had to be probably Wells on the end of that. But it's not always bad cussing. It's just that's
right.
How he talks sometimes. So I won't necessarily always say that it's bad and he's always yelling and fussing. But it does jump at you a couple of times just to hear it. So yeah.
I when you made the team, because Coach Wells and I are very good friends, and he's a great friend of the show. When you made the team, he called me. I'm not kidding you. Like 9 times, I didn't have my phone with me. He kept calling me. He was so excited, Matt, that you made the team, that he was like a proud dad, man. It was very cool.
Yes. I know. He had told me that I was his first head coach player to ever go to the league. So. I know he had other players that went to the league as him being an offensive line coach,
right,
or assistant and stuff like that. But I was his first as of a head coach. So I know he was really proud of me of making that team and stuff like that. So
that's really cool. Again, your football camping, follow you on Instagram. Make sure I got this. Matt Ajack 12,
yes.
Right?
Yes. As
yeah.
Simple as that.
There you go. I'll put on Instagram, football camp this Saturday at Hillsborough, 10 to 1.
No, Friday.
Friday. I'm sorry. Hey, yes. Matt, if people just want to show up out there, can they?
Yes.
Okay.
It'll be open. It'll be open.
All right.
Not having to close. So.
All right. Friday, yeah, Hillsborough High School, 10 to 1.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Matthew, appreciate it. Congratulations on everything, and enjoy the break before training camp in a couple of weeks.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Matt Jackson joining us, a Titans safety here on the program, and what a cool story.
It is.
And, you know, looking forward to seeing what he can do with this new coaching staff.
Now, you've heard this. You're the boss here, Chase. There's good cussing. Right? As you just told us, there's good cussing and bad cussing, and then Matt's experienced the good cussing from Mike Vrabel and Walt Wells. So remember that when I'm in my cubicle screaming over there. Well, he's just good cussing.
Yes, yes, indeed. we'll have much more coming, including Vince Ferrara talking Omaha and the Tennessee Volunteers. We'll talk to him at 11:30 in hour number three. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. And I'm feeling the strain. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Tuesday. Appreciate Matt Jackson for joining us. Titan safety. He cleared that up for us.
He did. That was because of you. You had a great, like, is he a linebacker or safety? I know he played linebacker at Eastern Kentucky, and now he's on the team. It's a great story, man. These undrafted free agents are fantastic. You know, we had the one here, I guess the most visible, popular, best one the Titans had, Drew Bennett. Am I leaving one out? Who had the impact for 4 or 5 years and parlayed that into a contract with the Rams in St. Louis and was terrible?
I'd probably say Drew Bennett, yeah.
Like, who else was on there? I might have been living one or two guys out that did that, that made the team. But, I mean, that's how you look at it now. You know, that's only 7 rounds. So the chances of undrafted free agents making the team are a lot better than they were when they had 12, 15, 50 rounds back in the day.
Yes, indeed. So just seeing this, couple of different, I guess, places putting this out there, and I haven't seen the Titans necessarily say it yet, but it looks like July 23rd is when they will report for training camp.
It's right around the corner, Chase.
A little over a month away. So the two-tone blue will get after it. But, yeah, it's hard to believe that it's almost here, that so they were the training camp.
That's a Tuesday, July 23rd.
Yep.
And there we go. What's the first training camp you remember? Of course, you got into this after the Titans were already.
Well, first training camp, I went to, let's see. First one I went to that I, like, really cared about, I was in high school. So I think it was my junior year. We went to
Clarksville?
No, it was here. It was at St. Thomas Sports Park. And I remember it because I was wearing my Steve McNair jersey. Steve was still here. So this would have been 2004? Like 2004?
I don't know.
Something like that. I'm asking myself. I think it was 2004.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you who I met. I met Steve and I met Derek Mason. The first time I met D-Mace.
All right. And then the impact was so great that he left after the 04 season and said.
Yeah, but he knew that, you know, I'd.
I'll see you later.
You know, we'd work together.
Yeah. I was at Channel 2 1997, and we had live reports. Mike Hill was over at TSU when the Vans were pulling up over there at TSU to start training camp. We were like, holy cow, this is a different era. And then. The, you know, 99 was still at Bellevue. And once they moved over to Baptist Sports Park back in the day, that's when it really kind of took off. The Clarksville one was weird. That was 06. And I know Fisher wanted to try something different. They went up to Clarksville. All I remember from that was when training camp broke, it was the Daytona 500 from Nashville, from Clarksville to Nashville, Titans players.
I bet.
And I was passed by, I guess, 12 Mercedes / SUVs, Corvettes, going back. And that was the thing back in the day. If you remember, Chicago Bear fans, if you're listening, remember y'all had training camp in Wisconsin. And when camp was over, they'd haul ass from Wisconsin back to Chicago. And a lot of tickets and things that are going on, guys going 150 miles an hour. That's the one I've covered a lot of them, but the 06 one was the kind of the weirdest.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
First one I covered was probably 13 or 14, somewhere in there.
Oh, the end of the Munchak, right in the Wisenhunt days.
Yeah. Wisenhunt. So the first thing I remember, I think I was still interning because you made me go down to the airport and wait for.
I made you. I went over there too.
I know. But you did. You were like, hey, go down, go wait for him. He like told me where to go, and I was waiting on the plane, along with, you know, every camera crew in town, because everybody actually, including myself, thought that Peyton Manning was going to sign here.
Smart move that he didn't.
Yeah, but so I remember that, and then yeah, I guess that next training camp. So I think I had Munchak's last year, and then Wisenhunt.
Yep.
And I'll never forget with Wisenhunt. So this was, you know, we're in the season or whatever, and back then we did these daily promos that they wanted us to record literally right after the show to promote the next show. And, you know, we were like, I don't know what the hell we're doing. Like, you must record this promo. Right. Like, okay, whatever. And so Darren and I go into the studio, and he goes, you know, coming up on tomorrow's, I think it was Darren and Derek at the time. You know, it said something generic. The Preds were playing. He goes, and then you never know. You never know what else. And I kid you not, we had planned out a show and had all this stuff. We're like, all right, yeah, we got a good show planned. And it's like 45 minutes before the show. I'm standing in the parking lot, walking in, and he calls me. He goes, Titans just fired Wisenhunt. Get ready.
Oh no.
And that was like the first time that I had gone through, you know, Munchak, yes, and maybe Trotz had left already, I guess. But like I felt like that was the first, like, okay, you know, this is gonna be big. And I, you know, when Bud Adams died, that kind of changed the whole day, and there had been breaking news, but like that was
November of 15, yeah.
Yeah, and that's all we did. And that's all we did. On that, I mean, it was talk Wisenhunt and, you know, who's next. And then it came out it was going to be Mularkey and,
right,
you know, all that stuff. And I remember Derek just being passionate and blasting Wisenhunt and all that stuff. Well, I mean, he was terrible. Look, he was, you know, the worst hire.
Yeah. And it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I could see that you'd be like, you and Darren, like, hey, Titans fire Wisenhunt, but first let's go to Cleveland.
Come on now.
Sorry.
We did not do that.
Yeah, it was something else because, you know, the whole, you know, because it didn't happen. Nashville coaches didn't get fired.
Yeah.
Right. You had, well, Fisher forever.
Fisher and Trotz were both like 17 years.
So January of 11, word comes out that Fisher's gone. And he signed extension for Chuck Cecil and Heimerdinger for another year. And Bud didn't know about that. It was just complete chaos. And then Trotz didn't leave.
Well, wasn't there he wanted to hire Brandon, right?
There was so much ins and outs that were going on. But I just remember that he gave an extension to his coordinators. And was like, what? No, that wasn't approved. And it just kind of, from that, the nepotism thing.
It was time.
Yeah. And then Trotz left after the 14 season.
Yeah, he left after they had the lockout shortened season.
Yeah, so we were like, what? This is
but
all
remember
new
the
for
Suter,
us.
The Suter thing had happened where, you know, David thought that Suter wanted to come back, and he was apparently the only one that thought that because everybody else was like, he gone.
Yeah,
you know?
He was gone.
And so that kind of – because they had gone to – They had beaten Anaheim and then lost to Vancouver in the second round. Then they beat Detroit and lost to Phoenix in the second in the second round.
Right.
And so then it was like, okay, the lockout's looming. Because remember, there was an NFL lockout, and then like a year later there was an NHL lockout.
That's right.
You know, so lockout's looming, you know, what does that mean? And Suter left, and there was like a bunch of guys that left. And so it was kind of a reset, and they didn't make the playoffs, and it was just kind of like, okay, you know, this is they're gonna make the change because, and I still, you know, I don't know how Barry feels. I think at the time it was probably good for both of them. You know, he goes and wins the cup in Washington.
Oh, it's time.
You
know,
they get Lavi, and but that was one of those that like I always felt like he's gonna come back at some point. Like, he will come back in some capacity. I thought, you know how coaches cycle through in the NHL. But you knew that was going to happen. So,
and they did. And it was a good thing. And now look at him now. I mean, general manager of the team. I love the way this team is shaping up. The Predators for the future. In fact, I wore my Predator shirt today in honor of Barry Trotz.
You did. Looks good. I like that one.
But, you know, we were used to, like, Vanderbilt firing. Even Vanderbilt basketball had a coach for a long time.
Yeah, Stallings.
And then, but, you know, Bobby Johnson was there from 02 to 08, and then 09, was it? And then Caldwell took over for 1 year, and then Jimmy Frank came in. So there was a little change happening at Vanderbilt, but this state, we didn't see a lot. Fulmer was there for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And then once Fulmer's gone, Kiffin for his year, then dumbass Dooley was in there, and then Butch and Pruitt. So it's now it's.
But I mean, even at Vanderbilt, like, Bobby Johnson was here for a long time.
02 to 08.
Yeah. I mean,
grew that program, and, you know, or was it 09? 09, I think it was.
It was 09. Yeah. And he, like, randomly retired, and.
Yeah.
And then, what's his name?
Caldwell. Yeah. For 1 year.
Yeah. And then. And then Jimmy Frank.
I'll never forget, Jimmy Frank came when I was at Channel 2. He was making the rounds. He came in. He was a barrel of energy. And he said, hey, can I use your phone? It was at my desk. It was Don Davenport and I were there. We're like, yeah, use it. And he gets on the phone, and he kind of turns his back to us. And he's like talking real. I mean, he came in like, hey, Jimmy Frank. And he's on the phone. He's whispering on the phone. I'm like, what in the world's going on here? It was just so odd that he did that. But that's the thing, is that before our pro teams here, I can't speak to the Grizzlies. I don't know who all they've had down there.
Yeah.
No clue. But here with us, it's just something doesn't happen. That's why, you know, when Vrabel, I was with you. We were doing the tour. Like, holy cow, they fired Vrabel. It doesn't happen, like,
right,
every day.
Yeah, that was a shocker, I will say.
Yep.
Real quick, before we get to Vince Ferrara, this is why I want Dr. Crane to do a segment of just, like, weird stuff he sees on Twitter. Fox Nashville tweeted this out 26 minutes ago. The headline says, Jennifer Lopez told to move to Nashville, release country album to relaunch her career, report says.
Read that again.
Jennifer Lopez told to move to Nashville, release country album to relaunch her career, report says.
It sounds like a robot tweeted that out. All right, who told her?
According to TMZ, industry veteran Joe Peters spoke with Lopez manager Benny Medina, telling him that the pop icon should follow in the footsteps of Beyonce and release a country album.
But Beyonce didn't need country. She's already massively popular. She didn't need to release a country
Does
album.
Does she need to relaunch her career? Did it?
J-Lo?
Yeah.
Well, I heard that she canceled her tour because nobody bought tickets.
Oh, well.
Everybody's like, no, that's not it. She won't spend time with her family. Look. When you get the old spend time with your family line, no, it ain't good. So she canceled a concert here and whatever it was happening. You should release a country album.
She should release a country album called Jenny from the Block.
Why not? Everybody else is. No, I think you need to release one.
Maybe I will.
Chase sings the hits.
Maybe I will.
Just random Tim Duggar songs.
Shout out to Tim Duggar. All right, coming up next, we'll talk Omaha. We'll talk Vols baseball with our man Vince Ferrara from the Sports Animal in Knoxville. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. The Vols in Omaha as they get ready to continue in the College World Series. We say hello now to Vince Ferrara from 99.1 The Sports Animal in Knoxville and, of course, the Vol Network. Vinny, what's up, my man? How are you?
I'm good, guys. Good to be on with you. Appreciate you. How are you?
Yeah, we're good. This has been obviously a lot of fun to follow this journey and with the Vols in Omaha. And 2-0 wasn't an easy 2-0 by any means. Friday night, of course, had a little drama. Have you guys in Knoxville talked a lot about that game in particular and, you know, maybe should they have called the strike three or the check swing? How much has that been brought up, or has it kind of been like fans are like, hey, let's just move on. We'll take that one.
Well, it's been both, but because they got the win over North Carolina on Sunday, you know, that Monday was our first time to react to both. So the 2-0 is something they have not done before in program history. So that really, I think, was the biggest thing. But you can't help but reflect on how that game ended and then the incredible single player performance by Christian Moore, which is up there in Tennessee athletics history in single game performances. Only the second player ever to hit for the cycle in a men's college World Series game. Just 440-foot, 118 exit velo homer to center, where it's hard to get the ball out in that ballpark. The clutch double in the ninth, where Tennessee was so incredibly locked in on their approach They got to 3-2 counts four times in the inning. It's 4-2 out hits, which means the game was on the line, and executing with two strikes was fantastic for a team that gets the rep of just being home run hitters, which they're not. They use all fields, and they've adapted to that ballpark too, even if, you know, some fly balls or some extra base hits don't leave the yard that would normally leave at Lindsey Nelson or anywhere else. So, two very different games. And, yeah, Tennessee fans don't think Blake Burke went around. Florida State fans look at it differently. But it was so close that I don't think Tennessee fans are apologizing for that by any means, because they did something with the opportunity that they got from staying alive there.
Vince Ferrara is with us. Now, you kind of hit on where I wanted to go next, that, you know, they were hit a lot of home runs this year. You mentioned Lindsey Nelson Stadium and then how different Omaha is. How much of an emphasis do you think that Tony Vitello had with that of kind of knowing that his team had a lot of power, but this park was going to play a little bit different? So trying to just get on base, hit the ball to, you know, get extra base hits, things like that. How much do you think they worked on that?
I don't think that it was a ton. This team has been so successful. They've used all fields all season long. You know, you hit the ball square with some backspin, and you're going to get it either in the gaps or it's going to leave the yard. Blake Burke's one of the best in the country in doubles. He's 28 on the year. So he's not just with an uppercut swing that is now changing his approach. He's had a better approach throughout the year. He's made himself into a much improved player. So I don't think the results are different and that they're hitting for doubles and triples, but I don't think they have put it in the players' heads that now you got to just poke at the ball or just get it through or hit singles or anything like that. They're doing what they do, but when you hit it as hard and as well as Tennessee does to all fields, because there's room in that ballpark, you're still going to have success, and they still have some guys with power to leave the yard. So it's I don't think it's been a huge adjustment for them in terms of approach.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara. He hosts 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time on 99.1 The Sports Animal in Knoxville and the Vol Network.
Vince, last week we had Andrew Binky on our show before they left to go to Omaha, and we're talking about the loss to Evansville on that Saturday. I was like, what was the mood in the locker room? What was going on? What did Coach Vitello tell you guys? He's like, hey, we lost. We play tomorrow. I mean, was that kind of matter of fact, like, you know what you got to do and go out and get it done tomorrow? Is that kind of been the MO for this team all year, Vince? Kind of like, hey, just go out and do your job.
Yeah, and Joe, the results have backed that up. They haven't lost back-to-back games since the opening SEC weekend to Alabama.
Wow.
That's it. So they ran through and won the last 9 in conference play. They have not lost 2 straight, obviously, in the postseason either. So this team, it was challenged more during the year than they were 2 years ago, where they're compared to now with those 57 wins. But it was a lot easier in that season. So when you got into some adversity against Notre Dame at home in the Super Regionals, it was a different type of dynamic. This team has shown Tony Vitello toughness that maybe even is grown more than what he thought it would be going into the year. But they're tight-knit, and they've learned from their experiences. And so, yeah, I don't think he needs to preach it too much, just really kind of like a matter of fact, because they've been there, done that, getting to the rubber match of series. And they're 6-1 in those rubber matches of games, winning their last 6, where it came down to that last game. Their season was on the line, even though nobody expected it against Evansville. They blew Evansville out, which is also what they've done in responding in all those other previous rubber matches that they played this year, just kind of doing their thing that they've been used to this year.
Vince, you've covered this team for a while. You've covered college baseball for a while. Tell us why this sport is now skyrocketing. I mean, it's talked about. People watch it. The ratings are up. People love it. Yeah. Why is this sport going like it is now?
I think a couple of reasons, Joe. One is the TV exposure is there, and because they have seen the sport deliver when they've gotten in their time slots, I think they've they've continued to get them in maybe better spots. It's not as cheap to put on the air as softball is, and it's not as confined in that two-hour window. That's why the networks love softball, because it's quick, it's fast, it's energetic, and it stays on time, largely. It's entertaining. Baseball is not quite to that level, but it's very entertaining. I think the biggest thing, though, is unfortunately, since the pandemic, you had minor league teams get cut, and you have fewer of them. So they've also cut back on the draft. And now you have fewer spots for guys to get to Major League Baseball and get into those organizations. That has kept back a lot of the talent in college baseball, and it's benefited from it because guys are getting better. Now the portal also is allowing players to level up in terms of competition and get better. Everybody in these major conferences, that's why there's the SEC-ACC challenge going into this College World Series.
Right.
Because a bunch of these teams have guys that stepped up for the mid-majors, and they've gotten better coaching, better facilities, all those kind of things. So more players squeezed in, getting developed at the highest level, and you're seeing them produce when it's on the line. I mean, so many close games. It's only going to help them. And by the way, game two, and I can't remember the last time this is the case, game two on Sunday of the College World Series final series, that's listed on ABC. I don't know that that's happened before. ESPN, ESPN 2, that is the schedule I saw. Game two will be on ABC, which is cool.
I love it. We're talking to Vince Ferrar on the Chase and Big Joe show. Vince, I told you this at a Vol football game last fall. I love you and John on the radio, because if you disagree with an umpire's call, you will let the audience know. And I think it's totally different. I love listening to it because there have been some calls that you thought were strikes, were balls, and back and forth. And you guys, it's just, you guys have fun. And I think people recognize that and love it, because it's really cool to listen. Finally, broadcasters like, hey, that was wrong, and we're going to tell you about it. I love it. You guys do a great job.
Man, I appreciate that, Joe. Yeah, there's obviously – the fans will tell you too in the background
if
they disagree on a close pitch. And sometimes, you know, at the end of games, it kind of gets skewed, but like the fan strike zone gets a little bit bigger when you're on the mound, you know. But still, it's cool, and I appreciate it. We always have fun.
Vince Ferrara is with us. So looking at what Tony Vitello has done at Tennessee, I mean, I think it's easy to say he's the best baseball coach they've ever had. Is this a good thing that John Curry did? Does he get credit for this, or is this Fulmer?
It was a Curry hire. Yeah.
So he did one good thing.
Yeah, and he's at Wake Forest, so there would have been even more of that connection had he and Chase Burns gotten to the Super Regional in Knoxville, which is what everybody was talking about. But I'm kind of glad that we didn't have that kind of drama, honestly, because that would have been a bigger storyline than the actual games themselves. So, it was a Curry hire. I remember that. It was crazy. He had a little baby face at the time, Tony Vitello. And, that was probably the peak in terms of coaching hires for Curry.
Well, it's going to be fun for sure to see where this goes, whether it's Florida State or North Carolina. Up next, Vince, appreciate it as always. Good to catch up with you, and we'll do it again soon.
All right, boys. Good to talk to you. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Vince Ferrara from 99.1 The Sports Animal in Knoxville, hosts the morning show there from 6 to 9 Eastern. And 8492, we're not crying about the check swing. We're asking about it.
I think you're crying about it a little bit. I'm kidding, man.
You want to fight? You want to do this right now?
I can't.
We're
going to
fight.
My fist. I got carpal tunnel. Can't do it.
From all the tweet keyboard warrior crap you do, you and Ricky, for sure. And he's right, though. I mean, like, having games on ABC just shows you how popular this is, for sure. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and also celebrity birthdays. It is the Chase and Big Joe Show, Tuesday edition, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. here on this Tuesday, just chatting with our friend Jill Jelnick out in the lobby. She'll co-host with Willie D coming up next.
You're going to the beach in a few weeks. Are you scared about the shark attacks?
Actually, yeah.
Well, hell yeah, they're like on the shore.
Like, here's the thing. I'm good on the sand. I'll dip my toe in the water, and we got a place with a pool. So
that's a Zac Brown song. I like it, man.
Yeah. So I need a break.
Get an umbrella out there.
A little umbrella, a little
pop it down.
Drink, you know, just have a good time.
Toes in the sand.
Yeah. You want to go? You can come with us.
Yeah. Where are we going?
We're going to Orange Beach.
Orange Beach. I'm good. I don't know. It's too crowded down there.
You know, Mr. Spring Break over here, we invite him to the beach.
I don't remember. Daytona, Panama City, I mean, on and on. Good
Gulf
Lord.
Shores was never on that list?
Was not. Miami, Fort Lauderdale. No, nothing. And I was, back then, I was so drunk, I would have fought a shark in the ocean. I would have. It didn't matter to me, man.
You know what? I'd put money on you.
I would. Just punch him in the face. Isn't that right? With a shark, you punch him in the face, right?
Yeah, right in the nose area. I don't know if they have a nose. It's just like a snout. I don't know.
Just punch him.
Well, I mean, I know one thing. If I ever, like, I'm hoping dolphins are around because, you know, you're good. If the dolphins are around, you don't have to worry about sharks. Yep. They'll take care of them.
That's exactly right.
I worry about those orcas now. Yeah. They're tipping boats.
There. I've seen a few orcas down on Broadway, so you got to watch out.
I have a few orcas in my cabinet. Keep your coffee hot.
Do you?
All right, Dr. Crane, what day is it? Let's just move on.
Man.
All right, first on the list we have is Go Fishing Day. How is that? Yeah. Go Fishing Day.
Joe likes to go fishing on Broadway.
That's right, man. Watch out.
So does everybody else that comes to visit.
We also have International Panic Day. That's here.
Just remember this advice. I'm not going to name the athlete that said it, but one time, you know, in my younger days, I was leaving a local establishment on Demumbrian around 2:45 in the morning, and this person yelled out to the crowd, "If it hadn't happened by now, it ain't going to happen tonight." And that's very sound advice.
Was that from Hal Gill?
Who said that? Was not Hal Gill.
Next on the list is International Picnic Day. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well,
I don't think people do picnics anymore, but I could be wrong.
I could.
Let's see here. International Sushi Day. All right.
I love some sushi.
All day.
Yep. I'm right there with you. Let's see. National Cheesemakers Day. I guess people that
I love cheese.
Make the cheese. Yeah. National Cherry Tart Day. Hey, how about it?
What is a cherry tart?
It's like a little, like, I want to say like a cupcake form, but it's like pie in like a little hand form.
Yeah,
I
like that. Yeah, those are good.
Put a little whipped cream on top.
Keep going, baby.
National Splurge Day. That's on here.
I splurge a lot of places.
National Want to Get Away Day.
Which is now.
Which is right now.
Yep. And that, we go to celebrity birthdays.
Thank
Which
God.
Is now. All right, celebrity birthdays. Got to get them within two. First birthday today, the great, the ultimate, the all-time rock star, Paul McCartney. Mm. Today's his birthday. How old is Paul McCartney?
I'm going to say he's 80.
78.
82. And I'm sorry, it's Sir Paul McCartney.
By the way, you missed a local birthday yesterday.
Who was it?
Albert Hainsworth.
Okay. Didn't pop on the list, man. Yeah, well, the great actress Isabella Rossellini. How old is Isabella Rossellini today? How old is she today?
I don't even know who that is.
She's a great actress. I forget who her mom was.
41.
I'm going to just hunch Maria. That's a lot of...
Maria.
Just going to go out there with that.
Mama Maria.
I'm going to go with 60... No, I'm a little younger. 58.
72. Okay. Yeah. You should know who she is.
I don't know.
Sorry.
Let's see. Next up is Blake Shelton.
Oh, got to love him.
Blake Shelton.
55.
58.
48.
Oh, dang.
You guys were all wrong on that. Some guy on Game of Thrones. I don't know who he is. I didn't watch the show. All right, here we go. A few for you here. Let's see here. Gosh, these people never heard of.
Like, I would love to look at the people he's never heard of and go, okay, I know
him. Country singer star Tim Hunt. You heard of Tim Hunt? No, you haven't.
Related to Helen Hunt?
Brian Benben from the show Private Practice?
No.
All right, keyboard player Dizzy Reed from Guns N' Roses. How old is Dizzy Reed?
57.
60.
61.
Nice.
Tied at one. Well done. Singer Nathan Morris of Boys to Men. He's the black guy. I don't know which one of those there. There's four of them. So he's one of them. That was the fun thing. Which one is he? How old is he? How old's Nathan Morris?
Did you really just say
that? How old's Nathan Morris?
58.
60.
53. Come on, y'all. By the way, I saw them 2 years ago. They did a private party at Vanderbilt. Fantastic.
They're awesome.
They're fantastic. Okay. I don't know these people. I've never heard of these people. All right, let's go some sports people now for you here. You got this? Let's go. Bruce Smith, Hall of Famer for the Buffalo Bills, played at Virginia Tech. Bruce Smith.
59.
63.
61. That's a push. You guys are fantastic doing those. One of the best football coaches of all time, pro football coaches, Jeff Saturday. How old is how old is Jeff Saturday?
47.
44.
49. Chase is up 2-1. By the way, that argument with him and Peyton on the sidelines during a Colts game is fantastic. He's like, you just snapped the ball, Jeff. And then he's like, you just shut your mouth. They're going back and forth. Hall of Famer, Antonio Gates.
46.
41.
44. Chase is up 3-1. So you get one last chance, Dr. Crane. Hockey Hall of Famer, Martin St. Louis. Did he say his name?
Yeah, he's the Canadiens coach, right? I think.
He played for the Lightning for a little bit.
Yeah. Stanley Cup. How old is Martin St. Louis?
Marty St. Louis is 49.
53.
Chase McCabe, 49, and Chase gets the swoosh, 5. You win 5-1. Well done.
I put 2 on the board, right?
You've become.
You did.
How about it?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You've become the Washington Generals to Chase's Harlem Globetrotters. Chase is like 47-2.
What an awful thing to say to somebody.
47-2. It's all right, though.
I'm still waiting for my Savannah Bananas tryout, so it's all good.
It is good. Or the Firefighters or the other team they got.
Yep.
The Trash Pandas.
The Trash Pandas, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, we talked to some people that went to the games this weekend, and they said it was amazing at First Horizon Park. So they was just, they were so gracious, so nice, so wonderful. The games were fantastic, and people had a great time.
I definitely want to see him.
Bringing fun back in baseball, Dr. Crane, which they need, because if it weren't for college baseball, I'd be watching no baseball.
I'm just saying, if I was there, I would have sold out the whole crowd.
What position do you play?
Infield, outfield, everywhere.
I think you should try out. I think it'd be fun. Yeah. That is going to do it for us. Tomorrow we'll be joined by race car driver Ty Gibbs. Also have a golfer from the LIV Tour. Plus John McClain. A lot of things on deck.
Fun day. As we leave our show every day, to our guys out there listening, you're doing great, man. We love you. If you need to talk to somebody, please reach out on your cell phone. You can dial 988. Somebody's always there to talk to you. You can call us. We love to hear from you and let you know that you're doing good, that we love you. Again, as I tell you, God has you on this earth for a purpose. If something happened, you'd be tremendously missed. We love you, and please know that.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. Willie Donick, Jill Jelinek from Fox 17 coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.